Welcome back to the old switcheroo, where we're talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I'm Mike.
And I'm JMO.
We're on our break from full episodes before we start season two. So this is going to be our first episode of a special feature that we're calling the old switcheroo light switch. Instead of our normal focus on the over 250 retro games available on the Nintendo Switch Online that we do most episodes, this time we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about what we're playing in the off season here. So as a reminder, subscribe or follow us on YouTube and Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, to make sure that you're ready for when our second season starts.
I'm so stoked, Mike. It's going to be such a good season.
Yeah. So one of the games I'm playing recently is a game called The Return of the Obra Dinn. Have you heard
that's
this?
That's the boat one.
It is the boat one.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really interesting game that when I went into this, I was kind of thinking, because you're an investigator on a ship, and this is all about the mystery. So like the graphics are, it's two colors. You basically have off, and you can set it to look like an old apple, and it's in green, or you can set white or in a couple other colors.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like old Game Boy screens, where it's like the one screen is just the color of the screen itself, and then just shades of darkness. So black and white, essentially.
Yeah. And so it's, the idea is that the ship has shown up, there is nobody alive on it, and you get put on board with a book that contains the crew listing and like a couple artist drawings that were taken during the voyage. So you can see the crew. You have a list of the crew. You have no idea how those two match up.
And the game starts and you're just on the boat or the ship, excuse me.
You're being put on it. You're on like a rowboat that has just taken you out to where the ship is.
Gotcha.
And then the other thing you have is this compass, which when you find a body, it will let you hear maybe 10 seconds of audio of the last moments before that person died.
Brad.
And then you have a frozen moment in time of that moment that you can explore and see them, and you can see what was going on around them.
And so you have to solve the mystery of each death.
Yeah. And I kind of, do you remember having these problems you'd get in school where it was like a grid and you'd have to like try and solve, you know, who did, you know, what the order people finished in a race was or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Like it's kind of a math word problem.
Yeah. Where you'd have to be like X things out and go like, okay, this is, you know, this person had to be this one or that one.
Right.
And you kind of start process of eliminating it. And so I was kind of thinking something like that. So it's not like here is a murder, solve this murder or solve this death, I should say. Move on. It is figure them all out eventually. And so,
that's rad.
Yeah. So the information you need is not necessarily in the one you get.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, you're connecting pieces throughout the overall ship, and like, oh, this explains what happened back in the captain's quarters.
Exactly. And so like I did not figure out who bodies number 2 and 3 that I found were until I'd solved like 40 deaths. It was becoming frustrating.
And when you solve the death, do you actually see it? Like, is it like a still image, or is it like with the game engine, you're watching it happen as if you were really standing there?
You don't actually. So what it actually does is every time you've got 3 entries correct in the book, it will confirm them. And so it'll go from, you know, this unfortunate soul suffered something to, you know, this person, you know, Professor Plum was killed in the captain's quarters with a revolver fired by Miss Scarlet kind of thing. You have to get all the pieces in there.
Yeah.
And so once you have 3, and it's kind of the book's broken up into like chapters of different parts of the voyage. So as you find a body, it'll fill in a page with the picture of the person and who else is in that, who else is around when they died, and a couple other sort of like reference point things.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. I've been wanting to try it for a while.
Yeah.
So maybe if you like this, you should try Heavy Rain. Do you have a way to play that? I think it's on PC now.
I'm aware of it, but I'm not familiar. I will say the great part in this case for Return of the Obra Dinn, I think it started on PC, but it
Yeah.
is now on PlayStation and Xbox and Switch.
Actually, I was just looking. They did a limited run cartridge of it. Limited run games did a physical copy,
Oh,
which is
that is
pretty cool.
fascinating. Yeah.
Well, and it's, a lot of preservationists are worried because, games like this are so iconic and amazing, but if they're download only, their existence for future generations is very vulnerable. So that's why limited run part of their mission statement is let's make physical cartridges with games like this.
Yeah, that's
It's
a
pretty cool,
very
huh?
interesting goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
and
kind of like
especially for
vinyl
so
records.
yeah, and especially for something like this, since this is also, I believe, this is basically one developer.
Yeah.
Because this is the same developer as Papers, Please, I believe.
Oh yeah,
And this,
another iconic game I
yeah, so
haven't
this was
played.
supposed to, I played a little bit of that, and it is just a game. There's a lot that can be criticized about like what it is that I play and consider to be a game, but file this paperwork is a bridge too far for me.
Yeah, I think it does eventually build to some kind of story, but
It
I think I
has
have
story, it
expectations.
has story behind that gameplay loop, but the gameplay loop of file and check this paperwork is, it wasn't something I could get into enough to get to that.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm hopefully will be finished with this in the next week or so, but it is something I'd had sitting around for a while. It is a fascinating game to play.
Yeah, sounds cool.
So what have you been playing?
Well, Marvel Snap is about to start its Avengers versus X-Men season. Are you at all familiar with the Avengers versus X-Men story, Mike?
No. I
If you're
was
saying like you didn't even know it was a thing. So,
no, I was kind of gonna be like, is that the thing with zombies? But I'm like, I think that's just me throwing zombie, like knowing that zombies happened at a point in the comic book, and that is nothing
yeah,
to do
Marvel
with this.
Zombies was its own spin-off comic. So Avengers versus X-Men was a series of comics that had the Avengers that we all know and love coming into conflict with the X-Men because are you aware about the Phoenix and Dark Phoenix and Jean Grey? It was the plot of the couple of the movies and it was a big part of the cartoons.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, we saw it together at Grauman's Chinese Theater. With Brian and Larry, that whole group. I remember because I kind of liked it, and you were the only other person who had like a sense of humor about it. We're like, yeah, it's mutants doing cool stuff. Like, why is everyone all mad? Because it was stupid. Of course, it was stupid. But anyway, so yeah, Dark Phoenix is this cosmic force that inhabits the body of, in this comic series, Cyclops's daughter. Her name is Hope Summers. And so all of a sudden, the X-Men are way OP and making the whole world and the Avengers nervous. It's a great plot,
Okay.
but they are doing a season of it in Marvel Snap. So you got some characters people have been waiting for, like War Machine. He's the Iron Man pilot swap,
So
but
with Marvel Snap, because that's all card game based, does this mean that there is this a thing where one character only has a single card, or are there multiple cards for a given character? So like, is this new cards for characters that don't exist in it at all? Or new cards for existing characters.
so it's actually really interesting you asked that because you're kind of stumbled upon the business model of the game. There are a bunch of characters that have not made any appearance yet, of War Machine being one of them. We're going to get the first War Machine card, and people really like that character, so they're excited for it. But you watched Loki, right?
Season one, yes.
So you're aware of the concept of variance, where like when time travel happens, the timeline splits, and now there's two versions of a person. There's the original and the variant. So the whole business model of Marvel Snap is that it's free to play, but you can collect variants of all the characters. So you can get like a steampunk Loki and like a 1600s Loki, and they call them variants. And what's cool is that it's also by a different, famous comic artist.
So are
So
those cards that are just like I'm thinking in
they
my
play
mind,
identically, though.
okay, that's what I was gonna ask. 'Cause like I'm thinking like in my mind, like Magic the Gathering has characters that show up more than once.
Right.
Because apparently that has characters, which is not a thing I realized when
Oh,
I
yeah.
played it, that there's like a plot behind that.
That's come more to the forefront recently because they added like hero cards. So it was like when you and I used to play it, you would damage each other and then kill off the monster that goes to the graveyard. But now like cards earn experience points. It's gotten very
Yeah, the
convoluted.
commander format.
Yeah. Blah.
But yeah, and so like I'm thinking with that where there are characters where like on one hand you have this is the same card, but we've done it with a different artistic style. But then you also
Yeah.
had this is the same character, but not only is the style different, but like the abilities are different. Actually, Star Wars
Yeah.
CCG was a better example because Star Wars really had to have like certain characters in every set, otherwise people would complain.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there's like 12 Luke Skywalkers and
As
variations
there
in
should
that.
be,
Yeah.
as you do. Now, Marvel Snap, it's more, cosmetic differences. And that's why it's actually pretty kind to free-to-play players, is that, the majority of currency spent in the game is purely cosmetic.
Okay.
You said you saw me streaming it when what was that fellow's name? Something Dandy Yankee something.
Something Yankee, like my brain's going Yankee Candle, and it's not that.
Anyway, we had a random friend from Boston drop into my Twitch stream, and you expressed interest in it because you didn't know it was a PC game. Have you tried it yet?
I have not yet. I still
Well, you should
have
give it a
far too
try.
many things to go through,
Yeah,
but
the real draw for anyone who might be listening or watching and you've not tried Marvel Snap, hey, 3-word pitch. Ready? 3-minute matches. That's it. Any given game takes 3 minutes or less. And that has made it so hard to put down because you always have time for a 3-minute game. I love Marvel Snap. I love Marvel Snap so much. And then the other game I've been playing a little bit was Pokemon Snap. Have you I saw you streaming it.
yes, so I've streamed the N64 one, so I'm looking forward to our episode to talk about that.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. I think, without going too much into it, I think the game's aged pretty well. I think it's fun. I'm having a good time with it. I won't tell you if I Nintendo beat it yet, but we'll save that for the episode. And I'm looking forward to the release of Princess Peach Showtime. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Princess Peach is getting her own game for the first time in a while.
I have seen this because I think I keep getting ads because they're bringing out like a new controller that's all pink for it, I think, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
It's like pink Joy-Cons keep showing up on Instagram because of this.
Yeah. I first caught wind of the game because of the controversy. The cover art was changed to make Princess Peach look more like the movie version. And people got upset because they're like, I mean, there's a solid swath of people who didn't care for the Mario movie. I liked it. We
I'm
saw it together. The
presuming the new Mario version of Peach.
Well, I remember she wasn't Peach in that movie. That was Daisy.
Right.
Yeah, see?
I'm not that great on my Disney princesses.
Universal, I think, at this point.
No, but that first one was.
Oh, the Daisy from the Bob Hoskins movie played a princess?
Yes. And that was a
Was that?
Disney, that was somehow a Disney, a studio distribution, I believe.
Right. Yes, back then Disney technically had control over it or something. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Luigi's Mansion. I love Mario games that are smaller and kind of play with, gameplay tropes. So it looks fun. I don't know if I'll get to it right when it releases, but it comes out March 22nd.
All right, yeah. So that will be something to we'll check back in and see whether or not you grab that as soon as it's out or not.
I probably won't. I'll tell you
Yeah.
right now, I'm poor.
All right. Yeah. And then I think the only other thing that I'd really say has been a bunch of gaming recently, because I spent a whole day of it just a couple weeks ago, was because I'm still playing Pokemon Go, and they did a event in Pasadena that was like an all-day event at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, how many people were there playing the game?
A whole lot. Like, I don't know how
Really?
many, but it was not like it filled one of the lots to the south of the Rose Bowl pretty thoroughly. And like, so without getting into details, I live such that when I left to try to get there for the start of it, I was half an hour away from it. And that remained a half hour the entire drive there because of how many people were getting there for the start of that event, that traffic was backed up for several blocks. I
had no idea that many people were still playing Pokemon Go. That makes me happy.
Yeah, well, and because this was the location of the event. Like, I talked with someone who had left their house at, I think, 2 a.m. and driven there from Arizona that day.
Whoa. And did it work? Because the first time they tried to do one of these, it like bombed horribly and none of the technology worked.
Actually did. And I was really worried because I've been at other things at around the Rose Bowl where the reception's bad.
Yeah.
So I was really worried that I'd get there and be like, well, I can't actually access anything. But it worked well. They had power points throughout there. So if you needed to charge up, you could. And it's just a whole lot of between the stadium itself, which had stuff going on. Like they had, you know, you could go meet Pikachu and stuff in there. So like I walked across the field in the Rose Bowl for that, and then headed out to go do a whole bunch of raids. So the raid system allows up to 20 people.
Yeah.
And the raids there were filling up almost immediately because there's a huge number of people there.
Well, I hope you got some pictures for our social media feeds.
I got none because my phone was very busy catching Pokemon. My great achievement out of that was there's a couple Pokemon, and I can't remember which one I ended up with, that are the like lake spirits or something. There's like four
very
of
possible
them that are within Pokemon. I don't know what regular Pokemon game they're out of, but for Pokemon Go, they are very rare.
Okay.
And for the event, they were showing up at a much higher frequency. And the Pokemon that you get, very crudely, the level system that they use is for Pokemon you get out of raids and research quests and all these kinds of things, start off at like level 15 or level 20, depending on the method. So low level Pokemon, you kind of have to get lucky in the wild. As for something that's rare-ish, as those are, tricky to get in the wild. So I collect the level 1 Pokemon because I have weird priorities in my life. And I particularly like getting level 1 Pokemon that are the shiny versions of the Pokemon. And so one of these very rare Pokemon had shown up, and it was a level 1. And I was having a very bad day getting any shiny Pokemon. This was the first one after 4 hours.
I don't think I've ever caught a single one.
Yeah, I think the game makes it a little, the Pokemon Go makes it a little bit easier than the mainstream games do. But yeah, and so it showed up and it was a shiny Pokemon. And it was like, I have to make sure I catch this. And then I caught it, and it was a level 1. And I was there with a former coworker, and I was like, the thing's level 1. And that I caught that spread sufficiently that about 5 minutes later, someone who clearly was on my Pokemon team, because he was wearing an all blue suit to this, like with like sequins or something, like someone who actually like dressed up for this as an event.
Yeah.
As a bunch of people did, and not just like showed up. Came up and was just like, I will trade you. Are you the guy that got the level 1 shiny? And I was like, yes. And it's like, I will trade you just about anything I have for that. And I'm like,
take him up on it?
No, because I'm like, I want that. He's like, I collect level 1 shiny. He's like, me too. This is my pride and joy out of this.
Wow. He broke that guy's heart. Well, that's really cool.
He
congrats on the catch.
But yeah. Yeah, no, I was very pleased. Yeah. And then after that, I had like, in the next hour, I made up my deficit on that. But it was this very long stretch of like, one of their selling points is like, oh, the chance of getting a shiny Pokemon will be much higher. And I'm getting nothing. And I'm there with someone who keeps getting them. And I was like, this is beginning to feel cruel and targeted.
Well, it sounds like karma. What's the opposite of karma catching up with you? Karma paid you back,
kinda,
I guess.
It's still kind of karma catching up with me.
It's just the yang versus the yin, or yin versus the yang. I don't know. I don't do symbols.
But yeah, in either case, it was one of the fun, more in-person things from that I've had lately, because there's still a bunch of people playing that. And then I've ran into people subsequently, and actually it's fascinating with that, because they added a thing so you could add friends that you were in a raid battle with, just like as a click button, click some buttons. And so I have a whole bunch of people on Pokemon Go now that I don't know that all came from that event. And because you can send gifts, like I've got gifts coming from all over the world out of people that were at that event, which is either people that have traveled for that event or have people that have traveled since, which has been kind of cool.
Quit bragging. Like, oh, so many gifts and international gifts. I'm a swath.
I mean, it's not like there's like any connect. Like, I didn't talk to these people. I don't know how, but it's just an interesting representation to see like the people who were there. Because for me, it was like, it's just up the road. I may as well go.
Yeah.
For the people that were there, a lot were traveling for that.
It's rad. It's really cool.
Yeah. So I think that covers what we've been playing, unless you had anything else you wanted to mention in here.
No, I'm good. It's been fun talking about it.
All right. So I think that wraps up what we've been playing lately. So next time we'll again do another one of these episodes of what we're currently doing with gaming. So we have 2 weeks to play some more new stuff. And then this is just a reminder that season 2 will be going live on Wednesday, April 24th. Which is when we'll be joined by JMO's brothers to talk Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for our season 2 opener.
It's a great episode. It's a great game. And little tease for that episode, we do a Sonic 2 zone tier list. We rank all the levels of Sonic 2. So if you're a hedgehog like myself, and by the way, I'm pointing that term here, I don't think there is a term for Sonic fan, but hedgehead or hedgehog, I don't know, something like that.
Great. Neither of those sound good, and one of those sounds vulgar.
Yeah. Hedgehead. If you're a hedgehead, sticking with that one.
That just seems like you're a fan of topiaries.
I mean, who isn't?
But yeah, so we'll have that episode coming up next month. Until then, please remember to like, follow, or subscribe to the Old Switcheroo, and rate or review the show wherever it is you're getting podcasts. You can also visit us at theoldswitcheroo.com to find all our social media links. We'd love to hear what you thought of this episode, since we're trying some stuff we don't normally do, or just what you're looking forward to hearing in the future.
As always, thank you for listening to the Old Switcheroo, where we've been talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I've been Mike.
And I've been JMO. Game on, everyone.